Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing the teaching on grace and faith, living in the balance of grace and faith. And I tell you, this is really important. This is something that just lights my fuse. It really does, because I at one time was on the other side of this teaching, believing in the things that I'm teaching against now. And I tell you, it was detrimental. You know, I don't go back and give you all of the negative experiences I've had, because a lot of them are painful. But there's some of you who think that I'm insensitive the way that I come against this so strong. And it's not that at all. It's because I realize how deadly this is. You know, without spending this whole program to go into an explanation, I at one time believed this. There was a man who taught that Satan is God's messenger boy. And his doctrine basically was that nothing can happen without Satan getting permission. Therefore, Satan is actually accomplishing God's will. And if you have a demonic problem, it's because God has sent this messenger to teach you something. And I submitted to that hook, line, and sinker. I brought back a series. This is back before they had cassette tapes. It was reel-to-reel tapes. And I brought back a teaching entitled, Satan is God's Messenger Boy. And I gave it to this girl that I was unofficially engaged to. And on this teaching, this man used an example of a boy in high school who was not bold. He was timid and shy. And so he just prayed and he says, God, if you have to give me a cancer and kill me so that I could be a witness, then I want to yield to you whatever needs to happen, believing that God is the one that gives cancer and things. So he prayed that. The next day he came down with cancer. He took it patiently. He wasn't afraid to die because he knew he'd go to be with the Lord. And he got to witness to all of his football buddies. And at his funeral, four people got born again. And that was on this teaching. I gave this to this girl that I was engaged to. I wasn't engaged officially, but anyway, it's a long story. It was unofficial engagement. I gave this tape set to her. She listened to it. She got so touched by his willingness to be a witness that she knelt that night and prayed and said, God, give me a cancer so that I can glorify you. And the next day she came down with acute leukemia. And anyway, it's a long story, but we prayed, we anointed her with oil and asked God to heal her, which is inconsistent. If you think that God gives you something, then why would you turn around and ask God to take away what he's given to you? See, that's double-mindedness. This doesn't make sense. And it's just religious. People wouldn't believe this. Did you know that lost people don't even believe in this stuff? You have to be religious to be able to embrace and believe that God is the one that's causing all of the tragedy and giving people cancer. But we were religious and we embraced this. And anyway, this girl prayed this. I was in Vietnam, got an emergency leave. I was with her when she strangled to death. She hemorrhaged and strangled on her own blood. And we stood there for over 2 hours asking God to heal her and raise her up. She died. And I couldn't understand why. And it's amazing, because she prayed for it. She asked for it. Now, God didn't give it to her. But when you start reaching out and embracing cancer and sickness and thinking that this is God, it's just like you drop your shield of faith. Again, I refer to the scripture that I've used a number of times already, James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to resist, fight against the devil. When you quit resisting and you start embracing tragedy and failure and problems, believing that that's God, you have just dropped your shield. You've made yourself vulnerable to the devil. It says in 1 Peter 5 that our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour everybody. He cannot devour people who know the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If you know the truth and if you aren't submitted to these negative things, but instead you know that God's a good God, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Don't let any man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. God's not the one tempting us. When you know this truth, then you have shut a door on the devil and Satan can't devour you. But when you come under this religious teaching that God controls everything, an extreme error in the sovereignty of God, then you open yourself up. Satan comes in, steal, kill, and destroy, and I guarantee you it is going to cause hurt and pain and tragedy in your life. It's going to turn other people against the Lord. I know that there's people all around the world incensed at me right now because this is, in my estimation, the most entrenched doctrine in the body of Christ. It's an easy doctrine to embrace because, you know what? It's a cop-out. It takes away personal responsibility. After all, you just pray for a person, and if they get well, then thank you, Jesus. God must have wanted to heal them. If they die, well, thank you, Jesus. God works in mysterious ways. God is sovereign. Nothing can happen but what He allows, and you don't have to bear any responsibility. There's no way to fail, because even failure, it must be God's will. I mean, your marriage wouldn't have failed if it wasn't God's will. God controls everything. It's a cop-out. It's a way of dodging personal responsibility. You know, one of the things that has happened in our society today that's terrible is that people don't accept responsibility for being a drunk anymore, for being a homosexual. It's in your genes. You have to be this way. You were made this way because you were raised in a dysfunctional family. And sometimes Christians will see this escapism that people just refuse to accept responsibility. Everybody's somebody else's fault. Everything is somebody else's fault. And Christians sit there and say that that's terrible. People shouldn't be that way. And yet Christians are doing the same thing. The majority of Christians are avoiding responsibility by just saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be. It's God's will. It couldn't happen if God didn't either do it or allow it to happen. Those are basically the same thing. Some people say, well, no, God doesn't cause everything bad, but He has to allow it. No, God isn't the one that allows it. For instance, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any man should perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, that says that this is not God's will for people to perish. And yet, people are perishing. Jesus said there would be more entered by the broad gate unto destruction than there are by the narrow gate unto everlasting life. So God's will is not coming to pass. Those who think that God just controls everything and nothing happens but what it's God's will, I don't know how you can get around this. Jesus said, or the Word says, 2 Peter 3, 9, God is not willing that any perish. And Jesus said, there's going to be more perish than there are enter by the narrow gate. God's will does not automatically come to pass. For a person to say that everything that happens, it's God's will, is inconsistent with Scripture. That is not what the Word of God says. And I know that there's people mad at me and saying, this is of the devil. How dare you say this? Well, let me just take your own theology and use it against you. If nothing can happen but what God either wills or allows to happen, then I couldn't be preaching this unless God wanted me to say it. And yet you're saying that what I'm saying is totally of the devil. You are violating your own doctrine. If you really believe that everything is of God, well, then everything that I'm teaching has to be of God, or I couldn't be doing it. And I know some of you are just incensed, but you know what? The point I'm making is you cannot follow this doctrine through. It's either true all the way or it's not true at all. But you can't just pick and choose and say, well, no, God sovereignly controls things, but unless it's divorce. I don't think God would cause you to get a divorce. And I don't think God's going to give you something that'll kill you. But all of these lesser things are totally controlled by God. He controls it to a degree, but not to this degree. No, He either controls everything, which is what this sovereignty of God is, that God is sovereign. Everything happens totally by His will, independent of you. You can't influence it or affect what God is doing at all. Either that is completely true or it is not completely true. But you can't just pick and choose and use it when it's convenient. If it's really God that makes you sick, well, then stay sick so that you get the full impact of what God is doing. And if you follow this doctrine through, it really just gets you to the point like, just lay on the couch and eat milk duds and get fat and become a couch potato and do nothing, because after all, you couldn't be fat if it wasn't God's will for you to be fat. You couldn't have a heart attack if it wasn't God's will. You don't have any responsibility. You don't have to exercise or eat right or do anything. You know, just let things happen. Whatever will be, will be. And sad to say, there are a lot of Christians that's right where they live. And I tell you, you have just dropped your shield. You have opened your arms. You are embracing the devil. And John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, talking about the devil, only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. You are going to be run over by the devil with that attitude. And so, see, this is an extreme. Once you start emphasizing that it's just up to God, it's the grace of God, you don't have anything to do with it. There is a partial truth about God's grace as independent of us, but it has to be balanced with our personal responsibility and our response of faith. And see, if you don't balance it properly, well, then it goes into all of this extremism. I actually pastored a church in Pritchett, Colorado, and there was a man who used to come and minister there before I became the pastor. The elders of the church wanted him to come back in, and I said, I don't know this guy. I'm now the pastor of this church. I'm not going to allow him to come if I don't know anything about him. So they gave me one of his teachings to listen to, and he was teaching this exact thing that I'm teaching against. He was preaching that God is in control of everything. And one of the examples that he used on this tape that I was listening to was that as a minister, he was a pastor in Colorado, he had gotten to a place where he was lusting in his heart. I mean, it was more than just a thought or something. He had given place to where he had a demonic lust. He said he would be preaching and look at the women out in the congregation and just in his mind be thinking terrible things. And it got so bad, he finally admitted this to his wife. They prayed about it. They had set up an appointment with somebody who did deliverance, and he was going to get this demon of lust cast out of him. And he said that as he was leaving the house, he went out and put his hand on the car. And his words, this is not the truth, but what he said was that God spoke to him and said, you couldn't have these demons if I hadn't put them, if I had allowed them to be there. Therefore, you, by trying to get delivered of them, are trying to miss the lesson I'm trying to teach you. And so this man canceled the appointment to go get some demons cast out of him and went back into the house and kept them, believing that God is the one who ordained him to have demons so that he could learn something. Brothers and sisters, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Again, I say only a religious person would ever fall for something like that. I am shouting it from the housetops around the world. I am telling you in the name of the Lord that He is not the one who is controlling the rape and the murder and the genocide and the adultery and the pornography and the ungodliness, the sickness, the disease, the financial collapse. God is not doing these things to you. Somebody said, but in the Bible you can see He struck people with leprosy. You can't ever show me a single example of where any of these things were blessings. They were punishments. They were curses. And under the new covenant, God placed my judgment on Jesus, and I am not bearing the punishment for my sin. There's a difference between the old and the new covenant. What people are saying today is that, oh, this sickness is a blessing. This is making you closer to God. It's going to draw you closer to God. That's not what the Bible says. Even under the old covenant, where God was dispensing judgment that is not the same in the new covenant, even under this old covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it lists the blessings that would come upon a person for keeping the law and living holy. And then it lists the curses. Verses 1 through 14 are the blessings. Verses 15 through 68 are the curses. And I'm not going to take time, but if you turn over to Deuteronomy 28 and read it, it lists sickness. It lists every sickness and every disease, even the ones that are not written in this book, as curses. It lists blasting, which is high winds, damaging winds, such as tornadoes and hurricanes, mildew, emrods, the itch, the botch, just on and on. You go through and read it. All of these negative things, it says, are curses, not blessings. It's just like if you took a chalkboard and you write across the top, you know, you write over here blessings, and then on the right side you write curses. You put a line down the middle. Verses 1 through 14 list what God calls a blessing, and that's being healthy, wealthy, prosperous, relationships working, victorious over your enemies, just all of these good things. Then it lists over here what a curse is, and that's sickness and poverty and being persecuted and having no joy and having no peace and all of these kind of things. That's what the Bible says a blessing is. Today, religion has reversed it to where they say, oh, it's a blessing that I got this cancer. It's a blessing that God destroyed my marriage. No, that's wrong. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, that in the latter days, people will call good evil and evil good. And we are in those latter days. And religion is one of the biggest places that is saying this. It's teaching people to embrace sickness, to embrace failure, to embrace trials and tribulations as this is God. Don't let any man tell you that it is God putting sickness and disease and poverty and hurt and pain on your life. And I know some of you are thinking, but I've learned something through these tragedies. Well, I've learned through my hard knocks too, but it's not God that gave those hard knocks to me. You know, I had an instance when I was first getting started in ministry. My oldest son was only 1 year old at that time, and I was loading a semi-truck with lumber to make some money. And it was a hot day in Texas, and my son was running around this lumber yard playing, and about, I don't know, nap time, whenever that was, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he wanted to lay down and take a nap. He was sweaty, and it wasn't paved. It was all dirt. He would have laid down in this dust. He would have been caked with dirt, and I knew that Jamie wasn't going to like that. And so anyway, when it came his nap time, I put him up in the cab of this semi-truck. I rolled the windows down and laid him in there and told him to go to sleep. Well, he'd been wanting to get into that truck all day, but, you know, it was dangerous for him playing up there, and I was working. And so I told him no, but I had to put him in there because it was the only place for him to lay down. So he was, I put him in this truck. Man, he revived because he'd been wanting to be in there all day long. And he got to leaning out the window and looking in that side mirror and waving at me. And I told him to lay down. I said, Joshua, you could fall, you could hurt yourself. So I laid him down. He got up and did it again. Eventually, I spanked him. And I told him, I said, Joshua, you need to lay down and take a nap. He disobeyed me. He got up. He leaned out that window. He fell out of this semi. And that window was up above my head. So it was over 6 foot tall. A 1 year old baby fell out, hit his eye on the running board and landed right on his head on the ground. And, you know, it could have broken his neck. It could have done something serious to him. So when that happened, I went running up. I grabbed him. I held him. I prayed over him. When he finally quit crying, guess what I did? I said, now, Joshua, this is what I was telling you. If you would have obeyed me, this wouldn't have happened. I taught him a lesson through a bad situation that happened to him. But I didn't cause that situation to happen to him. I did everything I could to keep it from happening to him. But see, if he would have been like the typical Christian, he would have gone out and told all of his friends, oh, my dad is such a wonderful dad that he pushed me out of the window of this semi-truck and I got a black eye when my eye hit the running board and I landed on my head and I nearly broke my neck. Could have been paralyzed for life, but my dad loves me so much. He did this to me to teach me something. No, I didn't do it to him, but I did teach him something once he came into a place of all of a sudden now he was listening. I used it to teach him something. Don't blame God for the sickness and the disease. God can teach you something through your hardships, but the Scripture says that the Word of God is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't have to have hard knocks to teach you what's right and wrong. You can learn through the Word. Now, if you aren't going to submit to the Word, when I've taught this before, I've had people say, but most people don't let the Word dominate them. Well, then you know what? You're going to have plenty of problems. And once your marriage falls apart and you are by yourself, you know what? You might have to come to grips with, you know what? I'm not a very good person to live with. And you might turn to the Lord and you might learn something. But it wasn't God that made your marriage fail. God will teach you what it was that made your marriage fail. He will teach you a lesson through it, but don't blame God for divorce. God hates divorce, Malachi 2:15. He hates it. He didn't cause your divorce. God didn't cause your sickness. He didn't cause the economy to go south. You might learn something through a negative economy. You could learn not to make an ARM loan, an adjustable rate mortgage, where you are just mortgaging your future. You could learn a lesson through that. But you could go to the Word of God and learn, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's Romans 13. You know what? You could learn these things through the Word. You don't have to have a tragedy. You don't have to have a stock market crash. You don't have to lose all of your savings. You can learn it through hard knocks, but you could go to the Word of God and you could have learned it that way. I haven't had all of the tragedy in my life that other people have. All of us have problems. I'm not saying I haven't had problems, but I haven't ever been through a divorce. I haven't ever committed adultery. I haven't been put in jail. I haven't done drugs. I haven't had right to the verge of death through sickness. But you know what? I've learned things that other people credit to these natural things because I went to the Word of God and I learned that adultery is wrong without having to commit adultery. I've learned that there's something better than sickness without me having to be as sick as some people get. You don't have to learn everything by hard knocks. If you live through it, it makes a great testimony. But not everybody lives through it. And you know what? There's a better way to learn. I'm just telling you that God is not the source of your problem. God is not sovereign in the way that religion has defined it, that He controls everything. And I know that there's some of you just screaming, well, what about Romans 8:28? You know what? I'm out of time today. I'm going to get on this tomorrow. And again, I use James chapter 1 where some people say, take these very verses to say that God is the one that puts troubles and trials in your life. And from the very context, it says, don't let any man say that it's God doing this to you. Only good and perfect gifts come from God. The very scriptures that some people use to teach that God is putting problems on you to make you perfect teach exactly the opposite. I'm going to take Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tomorrow, and I'll go through this and show you that it is the exact opposite of the way that religion is interpreted. Somebody might be thinking, well, why then is this so pervasive if what you're saying is true? And maybe even it makes sense. Maybe you'd acknowledge that what I'm saying makes sense. Then how come so many people believe this? You know what? It is a cop-out. It's convenient. You know, I remember pastoring a church and a little baby died. And this baby died in my arms while I was praying. And you know what? I was grasping for something that would comfort the family. And you know what? It was really tempting just to say, well, it must be God's will because I gave it everything I had. These people were believing God the best they knew how. You didn't want to make them feel like they had missed it. And I was tempted to just default back to what I'd heard and say, well, it must be God. But I had enough integrity to at least tell them that, you know what? Either I missed it or you missed it or maybe we don't understand, but God didn't kill your baby. And because I told them the truth, it wasn't as comforting as some things I could have said. But the woman got hold of the truth, found out where the problem was, had four more children, all natural birth, and sent me their graduation pictures when they graduated from college because I told her the truth, and the truth set her free. This is the truth about the extreme sovereignty of God, and it'll help you. So listen as our announcer gives you some information. He's going to show you how you can get all of these products, my brand new book on this. Please take advantage of it and join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA23C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have been touched today and you realize that, man, there's been some major misunderstandings about God and you need to get this product. Please call. We have a number on your screen. And as you get the product, also remember that we have prayer ministers. They will just pray with you and God uses them supernaturally to be able to minister to people. We see wonderful things happen. We've been getting around 25,000 calls per month. I tell you, you would be blessed. So we have the number there on your screen. Remember that when you call for the product, also ask them just to pray with you. They could make a big difference in your life. So please take advantage of this today.
Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. If the devil could only do what God allowed him to do, then Jesus would have been against God. He would have been out to destroy the works of God because, after all, the devil couldn't do anything but what God allowed. See, the whole ministry of Jesus, the Scripture is against that.